stacked up for an altar down on our road.
Yeah.
And there's a long story behind that, but we were walking by there. We're walking out. All of them were barefooted, but me, and I'm carrying the little one. And we're on our way back. We got to walk about a half a mile to get back to the house. And we get ready to go by these rocks, this altar. And Briar said, "Wait a minute, Pop. We can't go by here without stopping to pray."
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. That is great.
Yeah.
She stopped me. We all stopped.
Amen. Bless you.
And went out of there.
That's blessed.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't walk by, Jimmy. I try to remember every time I go by there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was thinking about something else, getting them out of there, and I didn't stop. But the little one stopped and said, "Wait, don't forget this."
Yeah. Amen.
Don't forget what's important.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm really blessed by that.
Bless you, Bill.
Amen.
Jimmy, I was thinking
big
this
blessing.
Morning.
Bless you, Stan.
I've been thinking all day long. I don't know what happened, but Brian stood up and he had a testimony this morning, and Kim stood up and she told me about it. She told me about Hunter getting saved.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't shout, Kim. And I wanted to shout.
Bless you, Stan.
I didn't shout this morning, and then Hayden comes up.
Yeah.
I've been shouting all day long. I'm going to tell you, I've been shouting all day long.
Amen.
Made my day.
Yes, yeah.
I just love the Lord.
Yeah. Bless you, Stan.
He blesses mightily.
Amen. I've been thinking about that, too. I've been thinking about those two guys, too.
That's, you know, Jimmy,
that's a blessing.
I think they're probably still rejoicing.
Amen.
That little boy coming. And I looked in his face, and he was crying.
Yeah.
He come barefooted.
Yeah.
It didn't make no difference. Yeah. I thought that was such a
Amen.
Beautiful sight for me.
Yeah, yeah. And then to watch him in line right here,
yeah.
going through to get communion. Yep. Bless you out. Amen. We've got a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah.
And Phil, you know these are recorded, right? Charlotte can hear that, what you said earlier. Bless you, Joe. Let the choir sing. Bless you, Hetty. Yeah, bless you, Hetty.
Yeah.
good spirit. Y'all mind the Lord.
Amen. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout and glory.
Yeah.
I think about them coming up here every time
yeah.
I do that. I remember when I came up and I get happy.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Bless you, Shane. Amen.
Sure.
All right, get your hymnal turned to 133 as the choir goes down. 133.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down to where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
They hung their heads in sorrow. Jesus their Lord had died. No reason to live tomorrow. 11 bowed down and cried.
Then Mary ran down the dusty road, crying, "Peter, come see where He lay.
For I've seen the Master, He's outside the tomb, and He is risen today."
Jesus came out alive, and the darkness ran away. The light in the tomb dispelled the gloom when Jesus rose that day. Oh, the place where they laid Him is power to keep Him inside. For He holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive.
Thomas doubted her story. In grief you imagine this thing. Till I've seen those hands that were ribbon touch His side, I will never believe.
Then an awesome presence filled the place. Jesus appeared in the room.
Then Thomas declared it, "My Lord and my God, You're risen today from the tomb." Oh,
Jesus came out alive, and the darkness ran away.
the tomb, dispelled the gloom when Jesus rose that day. Oh, the place where they laid him is empty. No power can keep him inside. For he holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive. Oh, Jesus came out alive. And the darkness ran away. The light in the tomb dispelled the gloom when Jesus rose that day. Oh, the place where they laid him is empty. No power can keep him inside. For he holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive. For he holds today the keys to the grave.
Absent was joy, absent was peace, there was so little hope inside. Wandering around with only questions as my companion, until the Spirit within me cried. And prior to a prayer, the tears just kept falling, grown in darkness on the edge of despair. Just pride.
Jesus came. When I finally saw him, no more burdens, not one little care.
It happened different, so different, just moments ago.
Last Sunday morning in class, we seen absent was joy. No peace. Little hope. Only questions as my companion. That's what I seen, because Les and Jim sat in front of me in the back. That's all I seen was despair. And our hearts was broken in class as it was in church. And we asked prayer Friday night and Sunday night and Sunday morning and all that. And all week long, I just the prayers went up. And the news we heard Thursday and Friday. I mean, I couldn't contain myself. And why do we do that? Why do we do that? We pray, and we're surprised that God answers prayers. So, but as Les testified this morning, keep them in your prayers, because there's still a date they got to make. I don't know if you know this, Robbie, but Jenna was telling Debbie this morning that they seen a lady in one of the rooms they were in by herself, that was waiting for an MRI, and she has her arm was in a sling. She had something written on her T-shirt. And they couldn't read it. And finally, Jenna says, "What does your T-shirt says?" I think it says, "Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right." Yeah. And they passed the doctor on the way to another scan, and they asked him. He asked them why they were there, and she told him, "That baby don't have that. That baby don't have that. That's not happening there." So, but keep them in your prayer. They got the 24th of May. They had to go to Pittsburgh to see the doctor up there. But I think everything's fine. Everything's fine, but God is good. God is good.
Got to endure me one more time for the evening. Jimmy and Mike asked me if I'd sing, and I said, "Well, you pick it." So Jimmy picked it. So I hope it's the right one. I have journeyed through the long dark night out on the open sea. My sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor the sails are torn, and I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the I've had visions
dreams, and I've even held them in my hands. But I never knew that they would slip right just like they were only grains of sand. But the anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor
anchor hold.
Amen. Someone else. Good place. Love that song. Love that song. Bless you, Rob. He's done some amazing things here lately that we just, you know, you'd have to be blind not to see him, not to feel the presence in here tonight, not to feel it this morning, not to be excited. You know, if you're not excited about the souls that have come, then, you know, that's exciting. And God's working. He's working in us. He's working. So it's been a good place. Before I pass it over to Pastor Stump, I'm going to ask, if you have a prayer request, if you raise your hand if you have a prayer request, a need tonight. God knows our hearts, He knows our needs, and I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Russ Stump, and he's from Boggs Fork Community Church in Roane County, and that's where my in-laws go, and they're with us tonight, and. Probably don't tell them enough, but I'm blessed to have to marry into a family that goes to church and loves church. And when the kids are in Roane County, if they stay all night or something, they end up at Boggs Fork Community Church, and that's a blessing. And every time I go there, I feel like I'm at home, and I get a blessing just from being in church. I talked this morning about communion, and when I'm there, I'm communing in fellowship with them, and. It's just a blessing to go to other places and meet the Christians and to know them and to feel like family. So I'm blessed. I'm glad to have him tonight and glad to have Russ tonight. So I'm going to invite him up to speak. Oh, and I'm going to ask as he comes, Pastor Al, would you pray for those unspoken requests and pray for Russ?
I want to thank Pastor Jimmy, the other members of the ministry team, and all you folks that have come out tonight for this privilege to stand before you. I just got a question I got to ask you. Anybody in here got any grandkids? Anybody love their grandkids? I always tell people that every good thing you've ever heard about grandkids is true. My wife and I have 9 children, 14 grandkids, 1 great-grandbaby, and another great-grandbaby on the way. So, the Lord really blessed us with three wonderful children, and then he moved on our hearts to adopt. And we worked through the Children's Home Society and adopted six children. And truly the Lord is good. And we love our grandkids, don't we? You need to be careful in life, because you may find that someday attitudes and thoughts that you thought were silly, you might find that you're holding on to them now. I remember when Brother Mike back there, the daddy-in-law, and I were growing up, and you know, Mike, it won't be too long that we will have been friends for 50 years. And it was about that age, being a teenager, that I remember watching a group of older men, you know, those 40 and 50. Now I'm past both of those. And listening to them sitting on some chairs in a restaurant, they were talking about their grandkids. And I remember thinking, those poor old fellas, don't they have anything going on in their life that's more important than that? And then one day, I found that I had become what I had made fun of. So they are so wonderful. Folks, we've come to the time this evening where across our country and in each time zone as it comes up around the world, Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings, the time comes when a man steps in a pulpit and opens the book to share the word. And I'm going to tell you what's sad is, if we're really honest, we know it happens, because it might actually have happened to one of us at a time or two, is that we're thinking to ourselves, I hope he's not too long, because if he's not too long, I can get home sooner. You know, on Sunday morning, that may be because you've got that beef roast and potatoes and carrots and onions and all that stuff in the crock pot and you can't wait to get home. Or my goodness, how could I miss any of Sunday night football, you know? People, you get what your expectations are out of life. And sadly, too many people have lowered their expectations about the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And think about it for a minute. This is God's Word. This Word is holy. It's without sin. It's without error. It's inspired. Inspired comes the Greek, our English word for that comes from the Greek word pneuma. And that's where we get our words like pneumatic tires or a pneumatic hammer. And what it literally means is the literal breath and being of God is in this word. And he superintended the writing of every one of it. Yes, he used men to do it, but he superintended that. So that, when we understand it in its context, it is totally and completely without error. Now, if that offends you, you might want to get up and leave now, because I have a very high view of Scripture. And I believe this is God's Word. Now, something tells me y'all do too, because that was some of the best worship I have been a part of in a while. Now, you know, of course, when you have your own church that you pastor, you love it, you love your people, but sometimes you get used to it, because a lot of times we do things the same way. And I'm telling you what, you all touched me tonight. I felt the power of God. I felt the anointing of God. And you know what the good book says? Remember when they used to call it the good book? It says that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It is the Spirit. And so it is. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have one, and I'm betting most of you do, to Psalm 100. And we're going to start with verse 1 and go to verse 5, because that's the whole psalm. Psalm 100. Now, Brother Mike, that is in the Old Testament. Let me help you there, brother. We go back a long way. Now, the Bible tells us, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That means all of us. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Well, I believe we are before His presence tonight. Because, buddy, I heard some first-class singing tonight. Amen. It just edified me. Verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves." I'll just have to apologize to those of you that are tremendous believers in evolution. Because it tells me right here that we didn't just evolve. That it wasn't just a couple of molecules that happened to come together 16 trillion years ago, and here we have this now. Because if you believe that, if you believe evolution, I want to show you another remarkable evidence of evolution. Does anybody wear watches like this anymore? I found this in a drawer, and my daughter got this for me a few years ago. And it's neat, and you even press the button here, and it lights up at night so you can see it. It's amazing. But guess where my daughter got this watch? You know where she got it? She found it out in the field. Who lost it there? Nobody. Over the last 26 million years, this watch just evolved. All the necessary molecules came together and eventually formed this. Now, some of you are probably thinking, I'm going to try to sell you a bridge in Brooklyn now. But folks, when you compare the complexity of this little watch to the complexity just of the human eye, it's not even close. And yet people would laugh at me for saying that and say, you're stupid. But then people with degrees longer than my arm, you know, PhD, post-hole digger and all that stuff, they try to tell us that we are just the product of blind evolution. But we are not. We are the product of a thinking, loving, planning God who has created us after His own image. Amen? Now, it goes on to say that we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And now, this concerns worship now. Verse 4 says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name." Now, if you want to tell somebody a verse that kind of sums up everything that the God of the Bible is, and it would be real hard for one verse to do that, but here's one that does a pretty good job at trying. Psalm 100, verse 5. What's your God like? What's your God of Christianity like, Russell? Well, He's like this. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Who's that? That's the God we serve. That's the God that we've committed our life to. We don't serve some halfway God. We're not shortchanged when it comes to who we worship, because He is God. Now, would you pray with me right now? Father God, I just simply ask that I would say Your words and that my words would be pleasing to You. Because if my words are pleasing to You, then everything else will take care of itself. We offer this up to You, Father, in the wonderful and precious name, the name that's above all names, the name at which eventually every knee, Satan, every name, the devil, every disease, cancer, that all of these things will bow their knee to the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Christ, our Messiah. And we pray this in His wonderful and precious name. Amen. You know, when we look at the Bible, oftentimes it will at times use expressions in a symbolic fashion as we do. For example, we know that in reality our heart is an organ that pumps blood, and that our emotions and, you know, passions and things start in the brain. But even in today we speak about, you know, our hearts, and that's where love and everything comes from. You wouldn't have a song on the radio if they couldn't talk about the heart that way. And so in the Bible, it speaks of the heart as the seat of our emotions, our passions, our attitudes, and our moral choices. And folks, the Bible teaches us that it is vitally important that our spiritual and emotional well-being be that in our hearts. Now let me ask you this. Because I talked just a minute ago about how some people just wanted to get through preaching and get out and get home. Is it possible? Is it possible, and it would be sad if it is, that there are some places where the Word of God is not perhaps treated as the Word of God, and when people step forth and they say that they're preaching it, they're really not preaching it authoritatively, and because they're not, and because they don't hold the book as the unchanging Word of God, that perhaps it doesn't make much of an impression on those that are hearing it, because the one who's handling the Word of God doesn't really give it the respect that it should be. Do you think that's possible? Do you think it's possible in America or anywhere in the world today that a Sunday morning service was treated that way? I think, sadly, it probably has been. But if the Word of God is preached as it should be, then it's life-changing. And it can be life-changing every service. Every service. And I'm going to share to you with something with you tonight that many of you already know. Many of you could perhaps tell it before this body better than me, but God has called me to do this tonight. But something that if you have not implemented this in your life, it will change your life in every area of your life. And it's something so simple, but really, aren't the great things in the kingdom of God simple? Isn't the plan of salvation simple? Isn't God's love and mercy simple to understand? He loves us so much. Folks, here's what I want to share with you tonight. My question to you tonight is, do you have a thankful heart? Is your heart thankful? Now, it's easy to say, oh, of course, brother, my heart is thankful. But sometimes we need to examine ourselves and look at our hearts. There are some that would talk to us if we had a mixed group from this community and there were many non-believers here. And they might say, well, what motivates you Christians to be thankful? With everything that's going on in the world, you know, who knows what North Korea is going to try to do. Folks, we live in a world where sometimes bad things happen to good people. It's just fact. Down on Boggs Fork not long ago, had some people that came in and put their one-year-old in the bathtub by herself. She drowned. I can't imagine how that would hurt if I were the grandfather, for example. And people would say, with things like that that happen in this world, why do you Christians feel that you can be thankful? Tell me why. You're just living a lie, some would say. Well, I can tell you for myself right now, and I have many things I'm going to share with you. Won't be real long, but I have many things to share. One, I have a God who unconditionally loves me. And through His grace and mercy has enabled me to have a personal one-on-one relationship with Him, the God of this universe. What blessing, what higher would there be to be thankful for? I see nothing. But secondly, the second thing is, God has blessed me with a wife of almost 39 years who has loved me and cared for me at times in my life when I was not very lovable. And if I had nothing else in life but those two things, I have everything I need to be thankful every day of my life. So what should motivate us to be thankful? Let me tell you what. I bet there's some people in here tonight that you're facing hard stuff in your life. You may even be facing hard stuff that you did nothing to bring on yourself. There may be people that are just being mean to you, being cruel for no reason at all. You may have situations at work where you're being very faithful to what you're supposed to do, but people resent you, and they let you know that. Many of us face difficult times. What motivates us to be thankful? How about this? Number one, we should be thankful because we serve the one true and sovereign God of this universe. And make no mistake, He is sovereign. No one takes His glory. And He is in charge. And no matter how it looks like things have gone awry in your life, He's still in control. He loves us unconditionally. And He forgives our sin debt. When Jesus spread His arms on the cross and said, "Father, it is finished." He died for you and for me so we could have the gift of eternal life, so that we would not have to live forever in a devil's hell. What motivates us to be thankful? How about this? The Lord has sealed us and filled us with His Holy Spirit, and He has adopted us as children in His kingdom. You ought to be thankful about that. I've heard people say, just jokingly, they've talked about some rich man, maybe like a Bill Gates or a Warren Buffett. "Boy, I wish they'd adopt me and I could get some of that money." Oh, okay, well, that might be fine. Maybe you could use some of that for good Christian causes. But how about this? The Creator of the universe, the God who spoke, and 100 million galaxies, there's that many, are hurtled into existence. The God who can do all of that loves you personally and will communicate personally with you in prayer. Think about that. Now, whoever the president is, whoever the president of the United States is, the chances are that right now, if you and I need to speak to him or her by 9 o'clock tonight, it's not going to happen. Because they just, physically, they're human beings. They can't take the time to talk to everybody that wants to. But we have a God of unlimited power who created this universe and all that is in it and set the wonderful plan of salvation in motion. And He will speak to you. Because Jesus died. And the temple, the veil, was ripped from top to bottom. Showing that forever, the separation between a holy God and His creation was done away with. For whoever will come to the Father in the name of Jesus has access. That's why He tells us that we can boldly come to the throne of grace. How much have you boldly went to the throne of grace lately? It's a good question to ask ourselves. Why should we be thankful? Because God equips us with what? Spiritual gifts to fulfill the specific plans that He has for our lives. God calls you to ministry. And as I tell our people in our church, everybody has a ministry. I define ministry as you using the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given you to serve Him and others. Yeah. Who's others? Everybody other than Him. He has called us to service. He has called us to ministry. And the beautiful thing about that is, oftentimes and most of the time, He calls us to do things that we ourselves cannot accomplish. But the Bible says He equips us. He will not call you to anything that He will not first equip you to do. That's the God we serve. Any of you feeling that still small voice inside of you? Any of you reading the Word of God and it seems to be directing you toward a certain area of ministry? Do you just know that you know that you know? You know that feeling? Sometimes you just like to know you're saved, you know, to know that Christ is in your heart, to know the power of the Holy Spirit is working through you. And you just know that God's wanting you to do something. But you don't think you're big enough to do it. You don't think you're strong enough to do it. You don't think you have what it takes to do it. Rejoice. That's of God. Rejoice. That's of God. Because it was everything you could handle on your own. It's probably not God calling you to do it anyway. He will equip us for service in His kingdom. What motivates us to be thankful? Because our Heavenly Father, He's merciful. He's loving. And He's good. What motivates us to be thankful? Because Jesus went to heaven to prepare a place for us. And He intercedes there on our behalf. For many years, I lived in Webster County and Nicholas County. A lot of coal mining in that area. And there was a time that was a good job to have. I knew many friends who were school teachers. I even tried to do it. That wanted to leave teaching and go into mining. The reason was you literally could double your salary. You could go from making $12,000 a year to $24,000. 1981, that was a big difference. Some of you can look and say, yeah. And it always was nice if you had a friend that worked for that company. And maybe, just maybe, that friend knew the personnel manager, or if he was really good, they knew the president of the company. And they said, I'm on good terms with them. We're going to be hiring some people soon. I'll go and put your name before them. Amen. Try to get you a job. And that was always such a good thing. A lot of my friends talked about that. But let me tell you what we got. We don't have a friend going in to the president's office so that we can end up with a job down on the section. We have Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the one who died for you and me, interceding to His Father for us. Who's talking for you tonight in heaven, Russ? Jesus. Jesus is going to the Father for me because He knows that I need mercy and I need grace. Why should we have a thankful heart? Because we have the Word of God. Where would we be as Christians without the Word of God? Maybe some of you are about my age and you remember in the 60s. There was a big rock group called the Beatles. Most people still know that name. And along about 1965 or 66, they decided that they wanted to explore their inner selves. So they went to India. I think one of the major magazines even chronicled that. Time, Life, or Saturday Evening Post. Remember when we used to get those magazines in the mail? I guess you can get them on the internet now. I don't know. And it showed them, and they were all dressed up like some Maharishi or something. And they were under some guru who was going to teach them how to have inner peace. All they had to do was go to God's Word. You don't need a guru in India unless he's a soul-saving, devil-skinning, coming-to-the-cross preaching Christian. You don't need some Hindu guru, because Hinduism is wrong. It's false. Buddhism is false. Being a Sikh is false. That's not politically correct today. But it's fact. And I see too much compromise in this world. Now, you don't have to be mean. You don't have to go up to a Hindu and say, oh, by the way, you're going to split hell wide open. You better repent or else. There are better ways to do that. And I'm going to tell you, the best witnessing that you can ever do a lot of times is this. Invest your life in the life of someone else. Because when they finally see that you care, that's when they're willing to listen to you. They'll listen to you when they see they care. But if people don't think you care, if people think all you want to do is take your Bible and carve another notch in it because you got somebody to say the sinner's prayer, they're not much interested in that. But we have the Word of God. Why should we be thankful? Well, how about this? How about the amazing bodies that God has given us? Just look at these bodies. Got a bad dog bite there. Something you learn. Don't take an 80-pound Pyrenees and decide you're just going to jerk her up by the scruff of her collar and carry her up out of the basement. She's a good dog, but no one had ever done that to her before. So she took a hunk out of me. Now, the corollary to that is about a half hour later, my wife came home and spoke to her. Come here, Chloe. Come here, honey. And got her to come right up out. But I'm telling you, it was ugly looking. But it's fine now. Why? Because God has made our bodies, as I've said, fearfully and wonderfully. And with nearly everything that there is, your body can just about heal itself. When you think about it, there's only one thing that's eventually going to kill you. And before that, your body would heal everything else. So folks, we have wonderful bodies. We have eyes that are just wonderful. The ways that our knees and our elbow joints function. It's an engineering and a medical marvel. We have so much to be thankful for. Now listen, if we're thankful for those things, how should that manifest itself in our life? In other words, what should that carry over into? Well, how about this? First of all, worship. Again, the scripture tells us in verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. When was the last time you blessed the name of Jesus? When was the last time? Secondly, in the area of prayer, you be thankful and that will help you in your prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. But are we praying? I'll tell you what else it'll do. If you get a thankful heart, am I allowed to say this? It'll even help you in your giving. 2 Corinthians 9:12 says, for the administration of this service, and that's talking about the church giving, not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Are you thankful when you give? Or do you hold on to that check? Are you thankful when you give? Or do you wish you really didn't have to? Are you thankful when you give? Next, the Bible tells us that when we have a thankful heart, it will strengthen us in spiritual battles. Anybody had any of those lately? Any of you felt like the devil was trying to take you from pillar to post? 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is thy sting? O hell, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you had that victory through Jesus? Yeah. I bet you all give invitations here, don't you? Invite people to follow Christ in discipleship after the message. You know, if you're here tonight, and see, that's the thing. I really don't know any of you or many of you. And you may have been a pillar of the church forever, and you may have just come in here for the second or third time or first time tonight. You will be given an opportunity tonight to make a decision to follow Christ in discipleship, to repent. And repent means a whole lot more than saying you're sorry. Some people think it just means I'm sorry for my sins. Repentance is the whole deal. Repentance means you make a decision to follow Christ.
Yeah.
No, I said follow Christ, not to say a prayer one time and to say, well, I've got eternal life. Let's go out and live life just as we did. No, repentance means to follow Christ, to pick up your cross and follow Him. If you have a thankful heart, it will manifest itself even in your daily life. Colossians 2:6 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and grounded in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Boy, it's amazing what thanksgiving will do. Thanksgiving will just change everything, folks. In fact, I just said everything there. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, how's all this going to impact our lives? That all sounds good, Russ. But how does a thankful heart impact our lives? It will impact our lives, number one, for godliness, because we are more aware of His presence. I challenge you to walk in an attitude of thanksgiving to God. You tell me how far your mind is able to stray from the kingdom of God. Too often times we get so consumed by things in this world, and sometimes, you know, we need to give attention to our jobs or to our families or other things that are sincerely important. But folks, we can do all of that and still be aware of the abiding presence of our Savior in our life. And thanksgiving will allow us to do that. What else will a thankful heart do? It will give us motivation to look, listen, motivation to look for His purpose in our circumstances. Oh, but you don't know my circumstances now, Brother Russ. You're right, I don't. But I can promise you this. Somewhere in the midst of those circumstances, there is a loving and compassionate Savior who is looking to bring you through that. And we are motivated by being thankful to look for His purpose. Sometimes we don't even do that. We just, woe is me, I guess it'll get better someday. No! Look for God's purpose. You have no idea why you may be going through something. It may very well be to change heaven and earth, but you're just looking at your own little self. You may be going through something hard, but if you see the hand of God in it and you still keep that thankful heart, you have no idea how many people may look at that. Lost people, unsaved people, people who need Christ as their Savior, and may look at that and say, wow. You know, too many of us want to have that attitude that Job's wife had. Boy, guys, how'd you like to have a wife like that? You know, she looks at him and all this stuff's going on and he's having a hard time, and she says, why don't you just curse God and die? That's not much help there, folks. That's not much help. What will be the impact of a thankful heart? I'll tell you what it'll be. It'll be a stronger witness. A stronger witness. Brother Russ, I just don't feel like I can really be a witness. Oh, yeah, you are. Everybody in here is a witness. The question is, what kind of witness are you? You've heard that before. I can tell you get good preaching here, you know. You've heard all this and probably preached better than what I could do. But folks, when we have a heart of thanksgiving, we will be a stronger witness. I mean, think about it. Imagine you've got a friend. And he raised the biggest garden in Roan or Kanawha County. And he asked you to come over one day, and he's got about 500 bushels of either Yukon Gold, Kennebec, Irish Cobblers, or whatever potato you prefer. And he says, Russ, I just want to bless people. Take 4 or 5 bushels. Just take them. That would be good, wouldn't it? Anybody in here like potatoes? Mashed potatoes, cooked potatoes with butter and all that kind of stuff. French fries. We've never eaten a potato, have we, Jimmy? But if they did that for you, and if the guy looked at you and said, you know, I just want to bless people, think about it for a minute. You think you might go to some of your friends and say, this fellow's got potatoes down there. And he just wants to give them away. He just wants to bless people. Why don't you go down there and get you some potatoes? I'd probably drive 50 miles to get potatoes. But folks, we're talking about the gift of eternal life. We're talking about living forever with Jesus. We're talking about people gaining heaven and avoiding hell. Hell's a sad thing to talk about. But you search the New Testament, you'll find Jesus talked at least twice as much about hell as he did heaven. So if we would share with people about potatoes, why wouldn't we tell them about the greatest thing in the world? Having a personal one-on-one relationship with the God of this universe, having the gift of eternal life. You know, some people don't feel capable of witnessing. Some people say, it's just hard, I can't talk to people. Let me tell you what you can do. If you don't feel you can do anything else, I have found what I believe the most powerful witnessing tool that I know of. And it's just this. Share with other people what God has done for you. Your personal testimony. Because they can argue with you about anything. But you know what's happened to you. And whether they want to accept it or not, that's something you got confidence in. You can never lose confidence in that because you know it happened to you. You know he saved you. You know he delivered you. You know he healed you. Maybe for some of you, he put your marriage back together. Maybe for some of you, he reconciled you to someone that you had been at odds with for years. Share your personal testimony. Doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to be complicated. Just say, well, this is the reason I have Jesus as my Savior. And just share it. What should be the impact of a thankful heart? How about instead of living your life in fear and anxiety, you live your life with joy and peace? Yeah. You see, God's got a plan. Sherry, you ever heard this? God's got a plan. He wants you to have a life of joy, peace, purpose, and fulfillment. Even though we do live in a world where bad things happen to good people, we can have joy regardless of what happens to us. Because here's the reason. Joy is not based on happenings. If it was based on happenings, we'd call it happiness. It's a root word. If good things happen, then you're happy. Bad things happen, you're not happy. But joy is not based on happenings. Joy is based upon relationships. And in the case of the Christian, the joy we have as a Christian, which is the greatest joy there is because we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And whatever happens in this world doesn't change that fact. And that's why, even when it seems like all hell is falling around you, you can have joy in the kingdom of God. And you can have peace. You can have peace because regardless of what's happening, you know that a million years from now, it's going to be okay. Now, that may sound silly, but that's reality. Whatever you're going through now, is it going to make a difference in a million years, 10,000 years, 10 years? The Bible says that we have eternal life. How long is that, brother? Forever. Forever. No, forever. I'll tell you what, no matter what you endure on this earth, there will come a time that that will be a very faint memory, if a memory at all. Because you are enjoying, you are so much at peace because you are in the presence of Jesus Christ. Let me share one more with you. Then I'll be closing. How should a thankful heart impact our lives? This is probably not anything that any of you need to worry about. Probably just me. But a thankful heart with God will transform our attitudes toward other people. Have any of us ever needed a change in our attitude toward other people? Yeah. It is so easy to look at people whose lives don't line up with what we think they ought to be, and maybe even with what the Word of God says. And not with a, but not but with a critical spirit, judge them. Yeah. You ever have a bad attitude towards someone, and then you found out that maybe you shouldn't have? Now, I grew up in high school and college in the 70s. Had my hair kind of long. But I got away from that. And when I had enough in front here to wear it, I even wore high and tight. Just like short hair. Didn't care much for long hair, even though I'd done it in college. My son had a friend that he spent time with. Nice kid. But he had long hair down to his shoulders like this. And I wanted to tell him, hey man, this isn't the 70s anymore. Cut your hair. I didn't like it. Never said anything to him. But I just didn't like it. To be frank with you, his mother was kind of a neo-hippie type. You understand what I'm saying? And I just didn't like the length of his hair. Never said anything. You know, I'd have done anything in the world for the boy, but I didn't like his hair. I had a bad attitude toward it. And then I found out that he wore his hair long because every so often he would go get it cut, and it would go to people who had had cancer and needed wigs. And then you realize you're supposed to be somebody who is a dispenser of God's mercy and grace. And here you had a horrible attitude like that. I think there have been times that all of us have needed our attitudes transformed. And a thankful heart will do that. Because when you have a thankful heart for what God has done for you, how can you be looking down at other people for their failings? Because when your heart is thankful, you realize just how far short you have fallen yourself. I truly believe that if you cultivate a thankful heart, it'll transform your life. But I'm going to tell you what, you really can't do that. And you're never genuinely going to have joy or fulfillment in your life until, and I bet a bunch of you could answer this, until you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because once you're a believer, then you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you that allows you to be grateful and thankful in every situation and circumstance in your life. Amen. Those of you that are leaders in the church, I have finished my message. Do you want to have an invitation? I would like to do that if that's fine. You all probably want to come up and listen to me. Listen to me. I want you to think about something. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, imagine this. Somebody has fallen into a 40-foot well with block on the side. And it's slick, and you can't get up yourself. And there's a rope hanging down, but you're just not physically strong enough to go all the way up. And somebody comes up there and says, I'll pull you out. But you look at him and say, no, don't pull me out. Just leave me treading water down in here. Because I know you, and I think you're a hypocrite. Or, I don't like the collar of the rope, the name of the church, man. Or I think I'll wait to another time in my life. I'll wait till I feel like God is moving me. Let me tell you something. If you're here tonight and the Word of God has been presented to you, the plan of salvation has been explained to you, this is your time. Today is the acceptable day.
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation. The God of this universe has loved you so much that He came in the form of the second person of the Trinity and hung up on a cross, shed His blood, died for you, and was buried, and they were ready to forget Him. But on the third day, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus Christ came forth forever triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And He did that for you and for me. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven, in this book, it says that if you have Christ as your Savior, if you have the Son, then you can be sure that you have eternal life. Let me read this to you, and then I'll let you all start. But I just... And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. That's pretty clear, people. That's pretty plain. That's pretty black and white. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Have you trusted in Christ as your Savior? Have you repented? Have you picked up your cross and you're following Him? If you have, then this applies to you. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. What's it say? It says, that you may know. Let me say that one more time. That you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. If we do anything here tonight, folks, let's exalt our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother, I'll turn it over to you, brothers.
Let's all stand.
Say this, raise your hand if you've never met Russ until tonight. Okay, it's just about everybody. Now, if he said something, or if he said a lot of things that hit home with you tonight, raise your hand. How's that possible? He doesn't even know you. God. God speaks. God speaks through us if we allow him to speak through us. God speaks through his word. That's how somebody doesn't know anything about you and stand and hit home with things, because it comes from our God. And it's truth that we all know, because we were made by him. And he loves us and he knows us. And so he guides us with his words of truth and words of the Holy Spirit fills us. And allows us to say things and to do things that we didn't know we could even do. I'm sure when Russ was called, he was like the rest of us and thought, not something that I'm that comfortable with, or not something that I feel like I'm worthy for. But as he said, God will equip you for what he has sent you to do. I'm thankful to hear words of truth and words from the Bible, and it stirs me, and I'm confident it stirred you tonight too. Let's sing one more verse of that, Chris, if you don't mind. We'll sing one more verse before we close. If you have a need, any need at all, anything at all, you come tonight and let us pray with you.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Amen. Been a good place to be tonight. It's been a good place.